you in the home 6010.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast. You can find us on video every Thursday, wherever you watch the ESPN NFL YouTube feed. And the podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. My name is Daniel Dopp. To the left of me is Mike Clay. We just got done doing a season-long Fantasy Focus podcast. Mike, it's good to see you again.
It's good to see you as well. Actually, I haven't seen you in person since the show before. Or last Wednesday, right? So how was your Thanksgiving, my friend?
Oh, I had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for asking. Well, yeah, Thanksgiving was great. The Lions were awful. Yeah.
That part was bad. Rest was good.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, it was. But it was a great time. Being able to see family and do some stuff. It was good.
Yeah. So,
how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was great. Love food and food, family, and football. Can't beat those.
That's right.
Wait, there's something there. I need that shirt.
Food,
make that shirt. We're going to be rich.
Hey, be rich. Al, do they celebrate Thanksgiving in Los Angeles?
We do, but usually you're wearing like board shorts and surfing in the afternoon. So like we eat the meal, which is usually kale that's stuffed with, I don't know, something. And then we go surfing.
Hey, not to show off, but it's mid 50s in December up here today. So
I'm only wearing two shirts.
Take
today,
that, Al.
So take that. All right.
Let's talk. Bristol weather gets blamed on me.
Yeah, it's definitely your fault. 100% your fault.
There is palpable animosity towards Al, and it's all your fault up here. I hear people mumbling about Al all the time.
All the time.
It's ridiculous.
All the time. Yeah. Let's really quickly say this for those that are just tuning in first time. In case you have never listened, you heard us talking about DFS on the season-long podcast. Mm-hmm. Hello. Congratulations. Maybe not congratulations.
You finally achieved graduating to this podcast. You have to level up in the app. You have to listen to the Focus like 32 times, and then you're allowed to access this one.
5 fantasy points unlocked from the gamer tag. Mike and I go head to head every single week. Right now, we are tied 6-6 after my dominant victory here in week 12.
Dominant.
I beat Mike 147-144. It was literally less than 3 points.
Yeah.
An aggregate across the entire season, there's only 25 points between us.
Yeah. And you know what? I thought I had you easily this week because I'm sitting there like, oh, look, I'm 52nd in the contest. Like I'm hanging in there. You know, it's going to be a great week. And then we both did well. That's good, though. That's
and
what
then
we want.
We that both means, did well.
Yeah, we did. That's actually better because that means all the stuff we're saying throughout the show
is good.
So we had our little mini slump in the middle of the year there and we bounced back strong. So that's what we like to do here.
Had a good week last week too with what we do for Al. You know, I did okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll talk about that at the end of the show real quick.
You're
however,
starting to hit your stride. I like it.
It's starting to feel good. Join our free league over at DraftKings. If you want to learn how to hit your stride in DFS, it's free to enter. $200 in prizes. Follow at Mike Clay NFL and at Daniel Dopp as well as at Al Zeidenfeld. Mike and I will tweet out lineups. Mike will tweet out a lineup.
retweet it if you get a second.
I'll retweet it if I get a second. Sometimes I put my lineup in there. The problem is I just don't want to give everyone the winning lineup every single week, Mike. That's the big problem.
When you're feeling good about it, you put it out there.
Huge shout out to Gem77BFP. Came home with 208 points last week.
Yeah, by the way, I think the second highest score in the contest was like 187.
That's
just Gem absolutely crushed
everyone
it. Else. So
crushed it. All right, let's give out some good advice here at quarterback, Mike.
Okay. Sure.
This week for week 13. All right, cool. Let's just do that. Justin Herbert, $6,700, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. A guy who's averaging over 24 DraftKings points is under $7,000. I understand Cincinnati here is tough. Is that why he's a shade under 7K this week, you think?
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, look, there's 22 quarterbacks on the slate, right? Is there 10 teams not on the slate? Some buys, primetime games. He's QB6, but he's QB3 in fantasy points this season, right? It doesn't make sense that he's kind of in that order. He's too good to be that low. 20 plus fantasy points in 3 of his past 4 and 6 of his past 9 games. So he's delivering what you kind of need to pay off this salary. He's 4th in passing yards and 7th in rushing yards among quarterbacks this season. So he gives you that extra advantage of producing with his legs a little bit. They're playing the Bengals. Now, if you look at just the raw numbers, right? If you're setting your lineup at ESPN and you're going to see the matchup, it's going to show you that they've allowed the 7th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've only allowed 14 touchdowns, but they've allowed the 8th most passing yards this season. And I looked a little closer at their allowances to quarterbacks. They've only faced 3 quarterbacks that are currently top 10 in fantasy points. Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, all of them got to 20 points. So when they have faced good fantasy quarterbacks. The fantasy quarterbacks have done very well. That's why I feel a little bit better about Herbert. A little nervous going into Cincinnati. They're playing better defensively. There are some nerves there about that. But again, you look closer at the matchup, it's not as intimidating.
You say that this should be, what do we think the, what's the over under on this game? Do you know what it is, Kyle? We'll look it up right now while we're doing that. I'm just curious what the high scoring ability
50.5, but that's not updated for like the market right now, but it's one of the highest totals on the slate.
There you go.
Is it? Yeah. That seems like a game that could have a I don't want to say shootout potential necessarily, but definitely like Joe Burrow and, Justin Herbert. That'll be fun. Al, let's talk about really quickly, Derek Carr. I don't want to say really quickly. You don't have to go quickly in Derek Carr. However, without Darren Waller this week, only $6,000. Mm-hmm. You saw him pop with DeSean Jackson for a big play last week. What is it that you like about him as a cheaper quarterback here this week against the Washington football team?
Well, I thought that DeSean Jackson was a needed thing for this offense, considering that their top two targets being Waller and Renfro are guys that just kind of operate within like 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. They needed that guy to take the ceiling off and needed to play him more. So like that was something that I was happy to see, where like rational coaching fits what we think should happen on Thanksgiving Day to keep people off the line. And it really helps Derek Carr, who is challenging downfield way more often than he has in, you know, in seasons past with the offense that they have this season. And Derek Carr's only 6K this week. Squares off against Washington, who allows a touchdown on 29.8% of drives, second highest in the league, and a touchdown on a league high 6.6% of passes. If your quarterback has a 6.6% touchdown rate, they're having a pretty good season. And basically, that's every quarterback that plays against the football team this year. When you factor in that based on like my stack ratings that I do, now, these are based on like median projection, just raw projection. Derek Carr looks like the top graded double stack option on the week. One, because Waller is out and that creates a lot of value for the island of Foster Moreau. And we have the fall guy, Hunter Renfro, who also just gets a ton of targets and might see like a 5 or an 8% jump in his target market share this week. So great standalone play for Derek Carr, as well as really good stackable value for tournaments. And there's players that you can bring him back with on Washington. There's nothing not to like here, basically is what I'm saying. So, and you know what else I really like, Daniel? I like the millennial Mr. Rogers thing that you've got going on today. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. You got a nice little sweater, you know, your legs are crossed. I like the positivity. I like all of it.
I'll tell you what, this is my great grandfather's sweater.
That's awesome.
Bought it Ireland. I was told before they came over as a part of, you know, some stuff coming over to the country here. So
yeah. When Daniel came in, he actually changed his shoes before he sat down.
Right?
Yeah. He did. I love you. By the way, I have to circle back too. You said Hunter Renfro's the fall guy. Is that a nickname I've missed? Is that?
Like on my streams, we call him the fall guy because he never gets yards after the catch. He just catches it and falls down.
Oh, the fall guy. Okay. I thought there was some sort of like, he takes the fall for something, but all right.
There was a video game called Fall Guys, and they always just wobbled and fell down. So he just catches the ball and falls.
Again, I don't get your references.
Just in case Mike wanted to like watch your YouTube streams and understand these references, Al, where can we find you if we want to watch any of these?
I'm live 6 days a week on smizzle.tv/live. And then you can find my YouTube channel. Just search for Al Smizzle or go to youtube.com/A Zeidenfeld.
A Zeidenfeld.
I am a subscriber. I recently signed up for Twitch and I follow. I think you're the only person I follow other than like Podium Esports because I'm a, you know, iRacer. So sure. I follow them. That's it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm just here to support the cause. Yeah.
A couple other quarterbacks just to support the cause here. Jalen Hurts, Mike, $7,000 taking on the New York Jets. Assuming that he's healthy, seems like a really great price here.
Definitely
monitor to make sure that he's fully healthy going into that game. Lamar Jackson, $7,800 taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Like that play.
Yeah, I'd love to get Hurts in there if I can against the Jets if he's a full go. That's the reservation, though. We don't know for sure if he's playing in this game, so you got to keep an eye on that. Gardner Minshew, I haven't even looked, but presumably he's near the bare minimum salary. Against the Jets, I mean, every week they just give up a terrific quarterback performance, so he might be a guy to throw in there, kind of punt that spot, and you're ready to roll.
Heck yeah. Do you want to rent your home, Mike?
Let me check. Yes, I do.
Sure you do. I'll bet it can be hard work, too, but you know what's not hard work? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So just go to geico.com, get a quote and see how much you could save. It's a Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's Geico.
Should I do it? Good.
.com.
Geico.com. All right. Should I do that now or later?
You should. No. I was really proud of that. I did that whole read without looking at it for the first time.
Oh,
remember
you did?
I tried to do it last time and I messed it up.
Good job. You're getting it. They're going to change up the wording next week.
I know. It only took me 4 months of reading the same thing every day until I could get it. Let's talk about a couple of running backs. There are some options here at running back this week, especially with all the injuries that have gone on. And Mike, we're going to start right here with Jamal Williams. Obviously, no DeAndre Swift this week. Comes in at $5,400, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Seems like kind of a chalk play here for cash.
Yes, and he is the 18th price running back in this slate. It's too low. His price, I believe, was kind of boosted because this game was on Thursday, so they had time to kind of adjust for the possibility that Swift would be out or it might be lower. But nonetheless, it's still a value at $5,400 for a guy who the head coach already said is going to be the guy, right? He's going to be the feature back. That's what we expected regardless. So, you know, in that Thanksgiving game, DeAndre Swift played a role, obviously. He was playing in that game before he got injured. Williams still managed 15 carries and 5 targets on 30 snaps in that game. He had 83 yards. Didn't find the end zone, but a lot of production, a lot of usage. That's what we won. And if he sees usage like that this week, you would expect a good chance for him to find the end zone. Also, and again, I totally get that DeAndre Swift is a feature player in this offense, and this that's part of it. But Lions running backs are fifth in fantasy points. They're first in targets and receptions as a group this season. Williams has been a part of that. And even though Swift's out, you're not expecting a major philosophical change, right? I mean, it's not like they're loaded with wide receiver talent they have to get the ball to, right? So I still expect a lot of dump offs to Jamal Williams and plenty of carries, of course. Finally, here the matchup. They're playing the Vikings, 11th most fantasy points allowed to running backs. 7 running backs have hit 16 fantasy points against them. Most recently, 49ers last week, 210 yards allowed to 49ers running backs. You remember what Elijah Mitchell did in that game. And these teams have played already this season in week 5. Lions running backs combined 169 yards and a touchdown into that game. So this sets up nicely for Williams to just have a nice high floor sort of game. That's what he want in cash.
I cannot imagine that Dan Campbell, who as of right now is taking over play calling duties from Anthony Lynn, it has been very run heavy each of the two times that he has taken over play calling duties. We just don't have a lot in the wide receiver or pass catcher standpoint. So it is very, it's going to have to be a run heavy game. And they still utilize Jamal Williams as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Seems like a really great play this week. $5,400. Al, let's talk about Elijah Mitchell, $6,000, taking on the Seattle Seahawks, especially with Deebo Samuel hurt, probably not playing in this game. There's a chance that some of those running back carries that Deebo would see would probably go to Elijah Mitchell and maybe some Jeff Wilson. But Mitchell could be the big guy here, taking over for Deebo in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? So you don't know what you got till it's gone. And now Debo's gone, which means more inside the 5, inside the 10 carries and touches that have been vacated. Presumably, some of those at least are going to go to Elijah Mitchell. So I'm hoping that Eli Mitchell never lies. We've got a fantastic matchup this week against Seattle, who have allowed 31.66 points to opposing running backs on DraftKings, over 100 yards per game, 7.5 catches per game allowed to opposing running backs. This is a great spot for Mitchell, and he's only 6K. I'd always rather play a running back when they're playing at home, but volume over everything, right? They are favored. He's averaging 25.7 touches and 132 total yards in their last 3 wins. This is a smash spot if there ever was one. I expect him to be extremely popular. However, because of how many really good running backs there are this week at, let's say, 6,400 and down, that may hold his percentage down in tournaments to something that's way more manageable, like around 20 to 25, as opposed to him being like 35 or 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Elijah Mitchell this week a lot. He's had at least 90 yards or 5 catches in each of his last 5 games. And the Seahawks have not, they just struggled. I mean, their defense has been okay, but that offense has looked awful. I think if the 49ers do anything here, they're definitely going to get it done on the ground.
Yeah. To Al's point, the only issue in quotes I say is that there's just a lot of other options here. So I don't think it's a spot where you have to force him into your cash lineup because you have other options here, including James Conner. You're going to list out the other guys now. James Conner is a guy I really like. I thought about breaking him down. Williams jumped out as a little better value, but Conner I have ranked higher in redraft this week over Elijah Mitchell, and he's $100 less.
You know, $100 less taking on a Chicago defense. Is that defense, is that part of why it's different, do you think?
Yeah, Chicago's defense not nearly as, you know, they still have that reputation of being very good that you can run on them. So, and Connor's workload, touchdown upside, there's Kyler will be back, which is going to open up lanes. I mean,
still no Chase Edmonds. Yeah. We haven't really seen anything from Eno Benjamin to feel like he's going to.
Yeah, should be the Connor show again. Yep.
Jonathan Taylor, $9,200. We also like this week. What week? Yeah. What week don't you like Jonathan Taylor with the way that he's been playing?
No, the only concern there is they're blowing him out, and he only gets 13 carries and a couple targets. And if that's the case, then maybe he has three touchdowns
for 124 yards.
I think that's what he did last time. he's a guy that, and we're going to get into this when we get into the lineup. You should be finding, try to get him in your lineup if you can.
Yeah. Antonio Gibson, $5,700, taking on the Raiders. Potentially no J.D. McKissick this week. So that's a big part of that. And at $5,700, nice price point. Joe Mixon, $8,100, has been fantastic recently. Leonard Fournette, $7,300, also has been fantastic recently. He just crushed it last week. I'll tell you what. I just want to say this. I was trying to find a way. I like Elijah Mitchell this week. Al just talked about him. Mm-hmm. I also like Brandon Ayuk this week.
Yes.
But I wasn't sure how I didn't want to put both of them in the same lineup. You also like Brandon Ayuk, $5,600 taken on Seattle. I think they both have a shot for a good matchup here this week.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if some of that rushing volume from Debo actually goes to Ayuk. Like, he usually gets a carry here or there. Don't be surprised if he has two in this game, which is, you know, not a huge number, but two carries. If you break one,
all it takes is one.
That can make your fantasy day for sure, on top of being the number one receiver for this team, which basically he's been the past couple of weeks, because Debo Samuel hasn't been targeted much because he's doing so much in the running game. But nonetheless, Ayuk has been fantastic. He's the 24th price wide receiver in this slate for the guy who's number 14 in fantasy points since week eight. He's been really good. 6.5 targets per game during that span. And of course, now Debo's out, so the target share could be even higher. And then you play the Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks are interesting because I tweeted about this the other day. They don't run many offensive plays. They are horrific on third down. And as a product of not running many plays, the opposing offense runs a massive amount of plays against them. They've had such a high floor. You saw it with Washington.
Yeah.
There's a reason Antonio Gibson set a career high in carries in that game on Monday, because they ran so many offensive snaps. That has been a trend all season long. I don't see how it changes. Seahawks, against the Seahawks, wide receivers are top five in targets and receptions to wide receivers. So that, what does that mean? It means it presents a lot of volume opportunity for a guy like Brandon Ayuk in this game. And in fact, 11 wide receivers have actually gotten to 15 fantasy points against them this season. So I do like Ayuk at his price point of 5,600. A cheap price for a guy that's going to see as much. We could see 10 looks in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Deontay Johnson, $6,800 taking on the Baltimore Ravens. I hate everything about the Pittsburgh quarterback situation, but the one thing that is consistent with Deontay Johnson is volume.
Yes. Mike, can I ask you the same question I asked you last week?
Yes.
You have Deontay Johnson projected for 13 targets in week 13.
And somewhere around there. It's funny. I feel like we go back and forth. Like, if I don't take Deontay Johnson, you take him. It's just like back every week. I mean, he's too cheap.
They refuse to put his price over 7K. This is an $8,000 wide receiver based on DraftKings scoring with full PPR, 100-yard bonuses, and everything else. We know that Baltimore is the 10th most giving team. They're 10th in the league in terms of DraftKings points allowed to that position. They're also not fantastic at defending the deep ball. And like, Deontay Johnson's been like the short target guy. He gets separation and short and small spaces or short yardage situations, and he just racks up targets in those situations. However, he has four or more deep targets in consecutive games for the first time in his career, and the Ravens defense is bottom 10 in the league against the deep pass in touchdown rate and in yards per completion. So like, if he hits one of those big splash plays on top of the, you know, I don't know, 12, 13 targets that he is most certainly going to get, because he's gotten that in like five of the last six games, you have the possibility to have a player with a really high floor, an expectation of something like 16 to 18 points on medium projection. And if he catches one of those big splash plays in there, we have a 25 to 30 point ceiling here at sub 7K. It's absurd.
It is absurd. We got a couple of wide receivers here that we like. Cooper Kupp, $9,000 taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hollywood Brown, $6,500 on the other side of Deontay Johnson in that game against the Steelers. Zay Jones.
There you go.
$3,200 against Washington.
Pun play, $3,200. So we thought Zay Jones might get a reduced role with DeSean Jackson being incorporated. It's actually Brian Edwards, who's been demoted to the four job. So it's Renfro in the slot. It's Zay Jones and DeSean Jackson on the perimeter outside most of the time. So Jones at $3,200. Again, you're just kind of punting there. 32, you know, get five, six targets.
Jalen Waddle, $6,400. That still feels too cheap. Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker, $3,900.
Yeah, see, okay. So we'll save this for when we talk about our lineups later. But yes, Parker is expected to play, and his price is absurdly low.
Keenan Allen, $7,500 against the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to talk about tight ends in a second. We've already talked about one of them, but I'm excited about I'm excited to get into this Foster Moreau conversation. Football and basketball season is back, and best of all, the safe return of live events means you can actually be there to see all the action with Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's-eye view to parking passes, being there is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Events for every fan. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, Mike. Tight end.
Yes.
$2,700 for Foster Moreau, who in the other time that he played when Darren Waller was out, absolutely crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Foster Moreau is a good play this week.
I'm going to say,
Thank you, Al. I appreciate that.
How do you set a cash lineup without Foster Moreau?
I don't know.
I don't know how you do it. Like, you're not trying to, you're just trying to beat half the field, right? Or win a head-to-head. I mean, what are you doing? You don't need to get creative. He's just, he's almost the minimum. The minimum for a tight end is $2,500. He's $2,700. The top price tight ends, more than double his price in many cases for those top
tight ends. What did he look like last time Darren Waller was out? Do you have those?
The last time he was out was week 7. 6 targets, 6 catches, 60 yards, 1 touchdown. Played 100% of the snaps and had an 18% target share. So obviously it wasn't a high volume game. 18% targets that turned out to 6. But if they throw a little more against Washington this week, that could be 7 or 8 targets. So played a huge role. You're going to see him slide right in there. And at this price point, he should blow this price point out of the water. I have him projected a little over 10 points, you know, kind of a medium projection. And at $2,700, I mean, it's well above 3X. So like that, very little wide receiver competition. Washington is mid-pack against tight ends. And you may recall, if you saw Washington play last week against Seattle, where's the ball going? Gerald Everett, over and over and over. He had, I believe, 9 targets in that game. Moreau set up here. Again, it's just it's one of them guys you love in cash because you know, lock him in, cheap, and now I have extra money to spend elsewhere.
Absolutely. To be fair, last week for the Seahawks, Gerald Everett, I mean, the Seahawks don't really have a lot of wide receivers on their team to be able to throw to, so they had to be tight end centric.
Yeah, they don't have one of the best duos
outside.
In the league.
No talent on the outside.
No talent on the outside, the hash marks. Yeah, it's
everything. That was bizarre.
Inside and short. They can't get open deep, either of their wideouts.
It was infuriating is what it was.
It was so bizarre, just being one-on-one is like wide open and Russ never even looked at him. I don't know what they were doing.
And the worst part is playing against Washington, which means that when Washington wins, you know, I'm going to hear about it from Matthew all week long about Washington won another game.
And that's the main issue with
Come
it.
Come on, Seattle. Jeez. All right. Let's talk
about Daniel.
That's right. Let's think about James O'Shaughnessy, actually. $2,600 taking on the Rams. Al, another really cheap tight end this week, potentially for tournament lineups.
Yeah, so let me start this off by saying you're just playing Foster Moreau.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. But in turn, like, that's your cash game. That's 50-50s head-to-heads. You're playing Foster Moreau. Don't get cute. It's a free square. It's the Jim J. Bullock center square for the block. That's where you're going with that. There's no other way to go in cash.
Nope, I didn't get that reference.
If you want, but you continue. Don't, but I there's some people who will, and those are my people.
Just confirming.
I'm going to go with James O'Shaughnessy, O'Shag Hennessy right here, going up against the Rams. They're going to be passing. They have to be passing. We've seen us hammer Dan Arnold for the last, hold on, wait.
That's what people were saying the other week. Why do you put the zero? Okay?
I have to censor myself for that one. I love
it. There's a dump button when you need it.
Well,
sorry,
Arnold
sorry,
got
Mama
himself.
I'll find him 25 cents a letter for that one.
I appreciate it. I'll put that in the swear jar.
Yeah.
He got himself hurt, which now opens up a whole lot of snaps and routes and targets. He's the next man up in this spot. Rams allow the 9th highest completion percentage when opponents are targeting their tight end at 72%. I expect him to play a ton of the snaps. I expect him to get a good amount of routes run per QB dropback, and there should be 35 to 50 of them against the Rams this week. This is just an easy spot to leverage off of Foster Moreau in tournaments for a much lower priced player who can do the same things that Foster Moreau can. He can get you 5-6 targets. We saw Dan Arnold do it, and everybody kind of joked a month ago about, oh, you're really going to play Dan Arnold? Yeah, we all really played Dan Arnold because he was a glaring value with nothing in front of him and a lot of vacated targets and routes. And now that person is James O'Shaughnessy, as Arnold got up to about 4,000. Now O'Shaughnessy steps right into the Arnold playing role and is back at 2,600, just like Arnold was at the beginning of his run. So I'm back again. Time is a flat circle.
I got to tell you, we went from DJ Chark to Marvin Jones to Dan Arnold to now we're talking about James O'Shaughnessy and freaking LaVisca Chenault still just doesn't exist in that offense.
Yeah, I mean, they tried last week. He was in the slot. He had like 37 yards on 9 targets. It's just not happening. It's not happening. It was a miss. I was high on him. Total swing and a miss for sure. But O'Shaughnessy, by the way, you know, he was kind of featured in week one before he got hurt and Arnold kind of took over. You know, he might be back now. Mm-hmm. He's a sneaky name.
Couple other tight ends, just in case you want to be contrarian here. Jared Cook, $3,100, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. And Mark Andrews,
oh, I know him,
$6,000, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is. It's the first name you're like, oh, okay, there's a good weekly starter, you know?
Yeah.
You have some value options at tight end this week, clearly.
Lamar can just close his eyes and throw it 60 yards downfield and just be like, Mark Andrews is out there somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw a meme like that.
I did too, and he retweeted it too. Yeah, it was which fun. Is funny. Yeah.
Beer versus the Brain. It's brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home or car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Mike Clay for your week 7 head-to-head lineup against me, Daniel Dopp.
Yep, so I'll give you my lineup first.
Let me finish. Tied for first, Daniel Dopp. Veteran.
You done? You good?
Lions fan. No. I'm trying to think of a couple other things.
Listener to the CSSDFS podcast.
Avid music lover.
Okay.
All right, give us your week 13 lineup.
All right, here it is. Lineup first, and I want to point something out. So I'm going with Justin Herbert, a quarterback. Broke him down earlier. The flex is going to have a running back. Those three running backs I'll be using, James Conner, Jamal Williams, and Antonio Gibson.
All sub 6K.
And doing that allows me to spend up a little at a top-end receiver by the name of Cooper Kupp at 9K. Got him in there. Marquise Brown, Brandon Ayuk. We talked about him. Foster Moreau, of course, a tight end. I'm going with a Washington defense against the Raiders this week. Only 2,500. But the one thing I wanted to point out is I want Jonathan Taylor in there. And I think by the time things sort out with injuries, I will get him in there. So if you can find a way to get Jonathan Taylor in your lineup, do it. Again, he's 9,200. You know, he's not going to crush you. It's not a value you can't pay for. They're playing for Houston. It's worthwhile to try and get him in there. And I'm going to find a way. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is probably, assuming he is cleared in places, Devontae Parker. Again, we talked about him a little bit with receiver before. His price point is criminally low for a guy that's handled him. He's out targeting Jalen Waddle. When they have played together this season, he's been better than people realize. And half of those games that he has played this season were with Tua. And so he's had some success. This price point will be much higher going forward. When he's healthy, he is very good. So I will find a way to get Parker in there. Most likely that's going to allow me to get Taylor in there and probably will allow me to upgrade elsewhere as well.
Wow. I like
it. I'm just being honest. The sign up probably going to change a little, but sometimes they do, right? We get more information. Absolutely. We get more news. Yeah.
It needs to change. You need to stand. This isn't one of those things where like you just set it and then like come back and see, how did I do? Like, yeah. you've got to make sure.
Three of my guys did not play. Whoops.
We've got a little bit of overlap. I also have Justin Herbert. I also have Antonio Gibson. And I also have Hollywood Brown and Foster Moreau. So we've got four guys. Okay. I did not look
and
at
again,
the
these may change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm right now rolling with. I'm doing three running backs as well. So my running backs are Antonio Gibson, Cordero Patterson, $7,000.
I like that one. Yeah.
Taking on Tampa at home, and Elijah Mitchell, $6,000. I've also got Hollywood Brown, Jalen Waddle, and Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ, like only $5,500.
Yep.
To go with a Dolphins defense at $3,300, taking on what is just an unbelievably depleted Giants team with Mike Glennon starting at quarterback.
Maybe. Jones may go. Yeah. He's trending towards yes, but who knows?
I'm trending towards if he goes, he's still not going to be very good.
Well, here's the thing. When I was updating my projections, for a moment there, it looked like Jones wasn't going to play, so I cleared him out. And I didn't change like the projected offensive production in terms of touchdowns at all because they're already dead last in touchdowns over the past two seasons. Like how much worse could you possibly project them for? It would be unreasonable to go much lower than I already have them. So I don't think it changes much.
And the
if
Dolphins,
he plays or doesn't.
The Dolphins defense has been playing well recently. Like they have been playing well. So yes, I don't know, Al. I spend up a little bit on defense. It's a little bit different. I don't usually spend money on defense, but I like the Dolphins this week.
You can. I mean, look, there's merit in doing it because What you don't want to do is pile on a defense that everybody's on. If a defense is going to be like 30% or 35 or 40% in tournament, you want to get off of that because of how high variance a defense can be. To get onto a defense, it's like 3, 4, 5%. Last week, it was the Bengals. It was also the Dolphins, who were really low played and scored you 19 and 23 points between them. And we know that getting a high score from defense and tight end is the easiest way to separate yourself in tournaments because those are the hardest positions to get that 20-plus point day from. My lineup is I'm probably going to have to make this a little less chalky as the weekend gets here. But it's a Derek Carr double stack going with Hunter Renfrow and Foster Moreau. I'm going to bring that back with Antonio Gibson because he's only 5,700, which is ridiculous, especially considering the 7 targets that he got last week. And if McKissick does not play, and we don't know yet because has he cleared concussion protocols yet?
He's not practicing, yeah. So I don't. Yeah. I'll be shocked if he plays. I fully expect Wendell Smallwood to be up this week.
Right. So if Gibson maintains like 5-6 targets instead of the 1 and 2 that he's been getting all year, mm-hmm. he's a fantastic, just an amazing play. I've got Jonathan Taylor and Eli Mitchell at running back. I'm bringing back Mitchell with Tyler Lockett. Hopefully they remember that they do have talented players on the outside and do throw it to them deep, as they will probably be playing from behind in this situation. I have Van Jefferson Jr. because he fit. At 5,300, still getting heavily targeted in that Rams offense. Mm-hmm. Very condensed offense there, and the Giants defense because they fit.
I like it.
There you go.
That's it. That's going to do it for us here in week 13. My friend Al Zeidenfeld tweeted out something this morning that said, "It costs nothing to be nice to people." I retweeted mm-hmm. it. I feel that way. Al, I love you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being a positive person. Be nice to other humans today because we're all the same. Mm-hmm. We all have love. We all have things we're going through. You never know what's going on else in someone else's life. So don't forget to love each other. We love you guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you next week, and good luck here in week 13.
NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.